Howdy, everybody, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm Matt. I am the host. With me this week are two fantastic co-hosts who are almost always here and sometimes are here even when I'm not. I missed a show recently and they did it without me, proving that I am somewhat replaceable. Anyway, they're Joe and Liz. Say hi, Joe and Liz.
Hello.
You are irreplaceable, Matt, but sometimes we trudge forward regardless. Not the same without you. It doesn't.
Oh, no, 100%.
It's not the same.
Well, anyway, I will say this much for myself, because this week, if you're listening to this recorded, which is the majority of our audience, I'm pretty sure, it'll probably be coming out closer to Thursday or Friday. My birthday is December 7th, so it's this week. And to celebrate it, I'm doing absolutely nothing.
As one should.
I'm doing absolutely nothing in terms of to celebrate it. I will be doing things. Oh, yeah, many things. For example, I get a special birthday present this week of my eye injections the day after my birthday. So, yeah, I will be spending my birthday in a sweaty state of anxiety and pretending really hard that I'm not. But I also pointed this out because a lot of stuff is actually happening besides my birthday, which is kind of crazy. But today is the 5th, and on the 5th, as of today, right now, as I'm recording this, we're all doing three things. We've got Hearthstone's Battleground Season 6, Overwatch 2 Season 8, and Diablo 4 is releasing the Abattoir of Zir, which is their super ultra mega, oh my word, this is the hardest thing ever thing for level 100 characters. Which is it just in the season or is it actually in the regular game as well?
It's only the season, though. They have talked about, you know, we're rolling things out in the season. We might put them in the game later, but, you know, not necessarily. They just, so maybe we'll see more of it later, but right now it's only seasonal, and it lasts until the end of the season, or almost, which is January sometime.
Yeah, so that's all happening right now.
I do want to add one other thing that happened today as we're recording this that I forgot to include originally, which is Diablo 3, you know, that other Diablo game. The Season 30 PTR went up today.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot that they were doing that.
It's a thing.
Literally the absolute last season in terms of new content is what I heard last time. Now, you don't think so?
This one doesn't exactly... I think we've already seen the last season of new content, and 30 is re-adding the horrible talent system that was going to take forever to get through.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's the one from the one from season 28.
Yes, it has a name. Do any of us know its name?
Altar of Rights. Yes, that's it. That is it.
It's adding Altar of Rights to the game as a baseline, but it's not, you know, there's not any shiny new features. And, but yes, the PTR went up today. It's going to last for a week. We don't have end dates for season 29 or start date for season 30 yet, but you can expect they'll come soon.
Yep. And since we're speaking about Diablo and things that are happening soon, there's the Diablo 2, 22 Nights of Terror, which I had not actually heard about. And that's happening soon. We don't know when. We think sometime soonish, but we don't know.
I mean, they did 22 Nights of Terror last year in Diablo 2 Resurrected, and they
started
confirmed
December 13th last year, I think.
Yeah, so they confirmed at their last campfire chat that it was going to come back, but that was literally all they said.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, I expect it's going to come out next week, kind of around when it did last year. So
that would make sense because it pushes it to like the holiday equivalent schedule of being in there for pretty much all of the holidays and into January, where you know the lingering holidays end. So that would make sense.
Yeah, we should point out that also where we're talking about stuff happening on the 5th, there is something that actually has already happened that we want to talk about, but I'll get to that in a second. Hint if you're waiting for a while. We have Amadrasil, Wing 4 is coming out on LFR next week on the 12th. And also on the 12th, we've got the Diablo 4 Midwinter Blight event is going to be happening. So if you've been looking for those are happening next week. So I do feel like, you know, the Amadrasil LFR Wing 4 is, you know, there's not a whole heck of a lot to say about it other than it is happening.
I mean, I just think it's interesting they've been rolling out LFR rings so quickly. We got Amadrasil, what, a month ago now? Three weeks?
I kind of like mm-hmm. that, though.
Yeah, I mean, I like that they're rolling it out so fast, but usually they'd roll out LFR, like, it'd be a week after normal released, and then it would be, like, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and so it would be, like, a month and a half before you could see all the LFR wings. And they've rolled this out really, really quickly, so we're going to see the last wing next week.
Yeah, and I think that's a really smart decision that they've made. I really like that.
Yeah.
I always argued that LFR should be more accessible than less accessible. I think the delays.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm not sure why they did the delays. Mm. Like, I don't know if they ever told us why they waited that long between them.
If they did, I don't recall either.
No, that said, I do like and this may be controversial. I like the sort of trade-off of that being, you know, released every consecutive week, but the Forge moving to bi-weekly, where, like, upgrading your gear to or converting it into tier or whatever the case is, being biweekly, I think makes a lot more sense, personally, if they're going to let you go into LFR every, like, accelerate the accessibility therein of getting all four wings. So, my opinion, I'm sure I'm going to get flamed for it later, but that's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is probably a better move as well, but, you know. But we've talked about those, so we don't really talk that much about Abattoir of Zir, other than it is supposed to be Nightmare Hawk.
Yeah, what is Abattoir of Zir?
It is, like I said, it is essentially kind of like a super ultra mega end boss. Like, you have to run through pretty much all the other bosses to get through, including, like, Mega Duriel, which is, like, Duriel, but more. Go ahead, Liz.
It's kind of like I want to call it like a Greater Rift, except from Diablo 3, except it's way beyond that. You have to complete the entire Diablo 4 season 2 season journey before you can even go into this. And that's a lot. That's a lot of stuff you have to do to complete that season journey, because, I mean, Uber Duriel is one of the things. All of the steps of the season journey, it's, you know, you have to complete X number of things. But so you can skip a few of those side notes, but getting to the end of the season journey, that's a lot. You're going to be level 100. You're going to be running max level Greater Rifts. You're going to have killed Uber Duriel. You might have killed Uber Lilith. Uber Lilith is very hard. Very, very hard. And then you're going into what is, it's kind of like a Greater Rift from Diablo 3. It's kind of a random encounter, and it's just designed to be very, 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 very hard. I believe the Diablo team said it was a brutal encounter. It's kind of your ultimate challenge playing Diablo 4. And it awards a whole ton of XP for your Paragon glyphs, so that would be why you would put yourself through this, because it can take a long time to get Paragon glyphs leveled up.
Yes, it can.
So much time.
So that's a polite way of saying. Oh God, the Paragon glyphs. But yeah, so that's the Avatar of Zir. We you know, Zir himself is, you know, I think it's like, is there an actual Zir or is it just the place is called that? I can't remember.
I don't believe you actually face Zir in this, but Zir is like the vampire lord from season 2.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think that's a spoiler. Season 2 has been out for a while, and you kind of meet him and get threatened by him right in the beginning. So, so they rolled out the patch for that today, and one of the things that came with it was a bug that de-leveled Paragon glyphs. You know, speaking of how hard it is to level your glyphs.
It's a little harder when that happens, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little harder when you level up your glyphs and then they roll out a patch and your glyphs go backwards instead of forwards. They are working on a patch to fix that. It should be out for PC today. They don't have an ETA for a patch for console, but soon. So hopefully by the time you listen to this, this is a bug of the past and you don't have to worry about it at all. But if you have logged on and your glyphs in Diablo 4 are weird lower level, it's going to be fixed. It's going to be fixed hopefully very soon. But yeah, this is one of those things. It's like there's a bug and then everyone's been piling on Pez Radar, the Diablo 4 community manager, about this. And it's like, come on. Don't.
First off, he's a community manager, guys. You know, that's the weird thing about when you hear about people piling on the community developers. Like, he's the community developer. He is not coding the game. God, chill out, guys.
Yeah, it's like he's here to communicate with you, and he's actually like super communicative. You know, people ask him questions on Twitter and he'll come with answers, or he'll ask for clarification. So he will like actually talk to people in the community. Like, he's a good guy. He's doing a good job. He's doing the best job you can. So I mean, it just sucks when we see the community piling on some of these developers, and I think it's why, you know, sometimes you see developers like pull back and you see developers not wanting to talk to the community as much. And I think it's because sometimes when you talk to the community bites back. And yeah.
Well, I remember a couple of years back now, I can't remember the name of the developer for WoW, but it was a WoW developer who he just said he liked Crusader Kings.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the game Crusader Kings and that he liked it and he was playing it. And somebody in on Twitter, and this was pre-Elon Twitter, but it was still not, you know, a great place. Someone just went nuts on him. Absolutely nuts. Just, you know, this is why this system you put in was bad. And I'm sitting there going, he just said he liked the game. Is he allowed to like games? I mean, you know, he works in games. One would hope he likes them at least a little. I was just like, man, this is like going to a restaurant, ordering food and then like demanding to see the somebody who makes somebody else's food to yell at him about the food you just got. It's like, what is wrong with you? Like, my word, calm down.
Just be nice. Be nice to people.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. But even if Adam hand coded this bug, you know, even if he had made this mistake, which resulted in this bug, we have developers doing their best to make something that's super fun for all of us. And sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes you make mistakes and mistakes don't get caught all of us make mistakes sometimes. Sometimes your mistakes result in a painful game-breaking bug. And, you know, you got to roll with it.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not even a mistake. Sometimes it's just, we didn't foresee that when we decided to use the original, you know, BattleNet interaction for Diablo 2 when we were relaunching it, that it would end up crashing the game repeatedly because, you know, the system wasn't designed for millions of you maniacs locking in continuously. That was our bad. We didn't realize this would happen. This is on us. It didn't get revealed during the play test because we only had a few thousand people or a few hundred thousand people or whatever, and not millions. Obviously that's a different situation. It's very rare that the person you're talking to at any point, if you could be talking to the lead developer or whatever they're called, game director, lead game designer, whatever they're called, they are almost certainly not directly responsible for anything that you are upset about, unless you just count them as being directly responsible because they're in overall charge. There are so many people working on these games that to try to pin blame down on any one person for a bug or a decision made in design, it's just not feasible. Like, how many people are on WoW now? Wasn't it like they added several hundred people a few years back, and that's been the case ever since? They've had nearly 1,000 people on it.
Well,
like that.
I think it's like a I don't know if they've ever told us the exact number, right? Like,
yeah,
I think,
but the point being,
there's a lot of people because, well, I mean, it's there's a lot going on. We talked about how quickly Dragonflight released how much content and how many different new systems, and you can't do that without a large group of people, because otherwise those people are just going to burn out and you're not going to have a game, right? So you have to have people to share the work.
Yeah, and there's also the whole idea of like development. You know, you have a team working on this, you have a team working on that, you have a team working on something else, so that you can do more things because you have different teams working on them. But that does kind of mean that those different teams aren't necessarily privy to what that team's doing. There's just a lot. There's a lot of complexity to this. Please stop. Please don't bite the hands of the people who are trying to get you the answers you want. That they're, you know, working in community is already pretty hard. It's not a tremendously easy thing, and it's not a tremendously well paid thing. Like Liz says, just try and treat people like, you know, with just the respect of that they are people. You know, you don't have to be their friends. You don't have to you gush about how great they are. But, you know, just don't treat them the way somebody treats a person in a supermarket when they want to return something. You know what I mean? It's like, we've all worked retail, right? I mean, if you ever worked retail, you know what it's like when somebody comes in and they immediately demand to speak to the manager, and you're like, oh God, this is going to be here. I'm going to be here all night. Just don't do that. I don't know.
Let's talk about happier stuff.
But let's actually go talk about the thing that we were going to talk about, which is the Season of Discovery in WoW Classic, because that came on, like, that was last week.
Tuesday. Right? Last Tuesday. It's already pretty crazy.
And then Matt was silent.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to not be talking. I guess I hit the wrong button. Anyway, when Liz sent out the email today, basically mentioning stuff about Season Discovery, one of the things I hadn't even realized was that all classes have their glyphs discovered now.
Every single rune, 12 per class.
Yeah, and the warrior ones are boring as heck. Oh my word. It's like the glyphs out there are really cool and neat and interesting, like the warlock metamorphosis rune, which makes them tanky. Although we've got a thing to tell you about that one, which is fascinating. But like the mage one, which does healing, they also, let's just talk about that one. The healing mages got a nerf already because they were healing via chain casting arcane explosion, which is funnest way to heal ever.
Right. It's like, do you like Holy Nova for priest, which was never, it was never very powerful, but it was super fun to just cast.
Yeah, just run in, go boosh, boosh, boosh. You're healed. It was like
exactly felt so good to press that button.
Almost as cool as chain lightning, but you don't even have to aim it. And not that you really had to aim chain lightning, but you kind of do if you want to do it right. Anyway, so arcane explosion, fun as heck, but also arcane explosion does a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's significantly more damage than Healing Nova ever did. You know, if it ever did damage, it did a little, right?
It did.
Holy Nova was damage and healing, but it was not. It was pretty small.
Yeah, it was a little bit of damage. It was like a little taste of damage. You have a little damage as a treat. But yeah, so they've already nerfed the healing of arcane explosion by 80%. Which, you know, ow. But it, you know, you're not going to not cast it. You know what I mean?
It's also like I didn't even have a chance to run anything with a healing mage to enjoy it while it was overpowered. Now it's maybe.
Well, guess me is that means somebody probably like some people already got their character up to max level, which is 25 or 35.
25.
At 25.
Yeah.
And the new Black Fathom Deeps raid has already been cleared. So yeah. I mean, all the content. Well, I won't say all the content. Probably most of the content to discover. A lot of the content to discover. It's been discovered because people have rushed through this like Zoom.
Well, that leads me to the thing that I wanted to talk about the Warlock Metamorphosis rune. And I think that Joe should get to talk before I do that. So, Joe, you were saying something and I interrupted you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay. the Warlock Metamorphosis rune is apparently locked behind Black Fathom Deeps.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like you can't get it unless you run Black Fathom Deeps, which is got to be annoying for Warlocks who wanted to tank and were like, yeah, I'm going to be a Warlock tank, and then couldn't tank until after they cleared a raid.
Well, you've got to be max level before you can get the rune that lets you tank, so you've got to play the entire game not being a tank when you want to tank. So, yeah, that's pretty rough.
I mean, it's also interesting because it means that, let's say your guild was, like, you know, totally on board with you Warlock tanking stuff. They had to carry you through the raid. Not just get to max level, and then successfully clear a raid. I mean, granted, it's Black Fathom Deeps, but it's a raid Black
Fathom. Yeah, but I mean, at least you can, like, even though it's, and again, it's not ideal, right? And they've already addressed it, and they already said that it's not super cool, and they're going to fix it. But, like, also, at least you're saying carry you through the raid. That's not strictly true. You can still contribute. Like, you're still a Warlock. You still do Warlock things. You're still going to sit there and go, hey, look, green fire, and, like, burn something to the ground as you're going through the raid.
No green fire, I don't think.
I'm just saying. I'm being facetious.
I just don't want people to get excited about possibly having green fire in WoW Classic and then it's not there. I mean, it might be there later. Some of the Glyphstar stuff like that.
Yeah, but my point stands. It's like, at least you're not choosing that at the beginning, and then you just can't do anything until you get the glyph. So, like, it's not great, but, you know, at least you're not completely useless as a Warlock until you get it. So there's at least silver lining.
It's a bit of a killjoy when you go in, you're excited. Warlocks can be tanks now. That's going to be super cool. I'm going to level up as a tank. It's going to be awesome. And then it's like, no, you got to be max level and clear the raid before you can start tanking at all. So, yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. But I will say this. The only reason I haven't already made a character in this is because I've just been so, this whole month has just been like a continuous series of dumpsters hitting walls and exploding in flames. I'm like, why did that dumpster even explode? It was empty. No, sorry. Dumpster fires all around. So I haven't gotten a chance to yet, but I will say that I was looking over the various runes that each class gets, and some classes get really cool ones.
I get the tank.
Yeah. Like rogue, like shaman and warlocks do get some pretty cool alteration stuff. The mage gets the ability to heal. There's some really neat stuff. And there's stuff like sunfire, which is like just kind of cool for druids. Like it's not anything special, but it's neat and it has a different theme. It's like you can be a sun druid. You're like a flame druid or something. Cool stuff.
There are a fair amount of glyphs that are like abilities you will get in the future. priest, the first glyph you get as a priest is penance, which, you know, modern priest, you're pretty familiar with that. It's basically just penance, except you're playing WoW Classic and now you have penance. So there's a lot of that. And I'm playing a priest and I feel like priests are not the most exciting either because I'm playing a priest and it feels like I'm playing a priest. Whereas we have had some classes that just, you know, everything is changed. You can tank now. You can heal now. So there's a range here.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind when looking at the warrior stuff, right? Because I'll do this. I'll be the guy who just talks about his own class all the time. A lot of these are abilities that you'll get later. Like, for instance, Raging Blow, Warbringer, Furious Thunder, which this is the one. Thunderclap now increases the time between attacks by an additional 6%, can be used in any stance, and deals 50% increased threat. It's like, welcome to Thunderclap in now. Like, but it's not even that. It's like Thunderclap doing those things. It was kind of like what happened to Thunderclap in BC. Like, that was literally what they had to do in BC because warriors couldn't hold AoE threat. This is the Burning Crusade talents version of Thunderclap. That's what it is.
Some of the runes are like that, though. Like,
almost all of the ones for warriors are.
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot of them.
Blood Frenzy, Raging Blow, Warbringer, Furious Thunder, Endless Rage, Victory Rush. These are all either direct lifts, Devastate, direct lift, man. And Single-Minded Fury. You even get Single-Minded Fury. You don't even get Titan's Grip, but you get Single-Minded Fury.
About the glyphs. Oh gosh, now you've got me calling them glyphs. They're runes.
Yeah, runes. Runes.
Yeah, we talk about the runes that are like really exciting and totally change things. like mages healing, like warlocks tanking. Yeah, we talk about that because that's really exciting, but the majority of the runes, I mean, they're cool, they're interesting, they unlock new possibilities for your class, but they aren't like totally unheard of crazy things that are going to make you a healer or going to make you a tank. A lot of them are abilities you'll see in later versions of World of Warcraft, or small tweaks on existing abilities. And they're like, I'm not saying they're bad, it's just a lot of them aren't as exciting as, oh, hey, you can cast Arcane Explosion and also you heal everyone a huge amount.
You know, I'm going to read Regeneration so people understand the actual glyph here. The Regeneration rune, I'm going to start calling it rune because it is a rune and not a glyph, even though it's exactly like a glyph. Come on.
It's tough.
Regeneration, 43% of base mana, channeled, 3-second cast, requires mage, requires level 1, heals the target for numbers, health over 3-second, and applies temporal beacon for 30 seconds. And temporal beacon is, records the subject's space-time position. 80% of all arcane damage done by the caster will be converted to chronomantic healing on each of the caster's current temporal beacon targets. This healing is reduced by 50% on self and also reduced by 80% when damage is done by arcane explosion. So you obviously that last little bit, they just threw that in. But basically it means that you put, if you've ever played a paladin healer, you'll know basically the kind of thing you're doing where you're putting a mark on somebody and then instead of your healing to
discipline
one character.
Priest. That's really the current discipline priest style.
But it's still basically that concept. It's that you pick somebody, you put the thing on them, and then you can just go nuts with your other thing, and it will heal them too. Except in this case, instead of healing them while you heal somebody else, you're healing them while you hurt somebody else. So it is a cool idea, and it works really well for a mage. It's an interesting idea on how to do that. However, and mass regeneration for that matter then makes it even better. Because now it's just, you know, healing everything. These are cool, neat ideas. And they unfortunately, they're a little too cool, I think. In that, you know, not that they're too cool and that they shouldn't be less cool, but they're going to stick out when other classes are like, hey, look at all these abilities that are just, you know, stuff coming in the future. And it's one of the weird things about, like, Metamorphosis on the face of it is exactly that. It's an ability that warlocks would just get after Classic, except that it's then an ability that they lost and don't have anymore. So getting it back in WoW Classic, I think for a lot of warlock players in particular, it's a huge thing. They want this to be something that they see in the future again. They'd love to have Metamorphosis back. So yeah, it's there's a lot of weird little moments like that in this setup, in my opinion. But I'm not saying it's bad. I actually, like I said, I think that this is a really cool idea that they're playing with. But every cool idea you play with is going to have, for lack of a better word, potholes. It's going to have things in the road that you're driving along and suddenly, boom, oh God, my front wheel. Like, there's a level to this. I don't think, you know, it's very hard to balance this. There's 12 of these runes per class.
Well, one thing to keep in mind with the runes is you can only equip 3 of them at a time right now. In the future, you should get more rune slots on your gear to equip more, but right now you can only equip 3, so you've got to pick and choose.
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's true. But I do think, looking for example, like run a shamanistic rage here. This is a great rune.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely great rune.
Well, it's a reimagining of one of the original talents.
Yeah. Reduces all damage you take by 20% and you regenerate mana every second for 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, and it does an AOE thing too. They get 10%. Everybody within 40 yards of you who's in your party or raid gets 10% of the mana you receive this way. So it's just, it's really nice, but it isn't groundbreaking. Like you don't look at that and think this upends the shaman entirely. And I think that that's the thing that those are the things to focus on when looking at these runes is that sure. There are some that are like the mage healing ones. Some of them aren't, but they're not bad just because they aren't flashy. Like shield mastery and dual wield specialization for shaman are both amazing, but they're both, they don't change the shaman drastically. Even tanking doesn't really change the shaman drastically because shaman were doing that.
Yep.
Especially up to level 25. I remember back in the day, the first time I played Horde, which was like in 2005, I remember we had a shaman tank for the entirety of Zul'Farak. The whole thing. Tanked the whole thing. No, didn't switch out. Didn't replace him. And he was meant to be the tank. And they, that's what, you know, I want to say Rockbiter?
Is that it was Rockbiter.
Yeah. Just Rockbiter on his mace, and he had a shield, and he just tanked the thing. So, yeah.
Because Rockbiter was something that would grab aggro, and people forgot that it existed.
Yeah. And that's the thing I want to just say, that I think, you know, just be sure to, when you look at these things, don't assume that they're going to make your class into something. There's no healing one for warriors. They did not actually make the healing shout. Yes. I didn't think they were going to, but regardless.
Would have been fun, though.
Get off!
Yeah, would have been fun.
Stop hurting!
Walk it off! He tore my head off. Walk it off! But yeah, regardless. I'm going to stop now and let you guys talk for a bit because I've been going for a little.
No, I think it's cool that they're playing with the space. There are some things that I think are, I don't want to say questionable, but like they could be better. They could be polished up. But this is also the first time they've done this, and it's the first time we've really seen like true divergent development in Classic. Like they've cleaned up stuff and they've done some other things, and they've done like quality of life stuff. But this is really like the first time that they've tried implementing something that changes the, like, potentially changes what roles your class can do or what you have options to do. And that is, one, it's wild, it's unexplored territory, and it's going to take time to figure out where everything needs to be and how to make it, you know, I don't want to say more fun, but sustainable, I guess is the better word for it. So I'm in for the long haul on this one. Like, I haven't had a chance to sit down and play because what is free time?
But
don't hurt me.
But I am so looking forward to tanking on my shaman. Like, that is something that excites me, and that's something that, like, before this I was like, yeah, while Classic exists, I'm not going to touch it. Now I'm like, hey, Season of the Discovery exists, I want to play that. Like, I want to live my fantasy, and it's gonna potentially let me do that, and I hope other classes get to experience that as well.
Yeah, I think we're kind of on agreement here. Liz, anything else?
No, I'm pretty excited about it. I haven't, like Joe, I haven't gotten much time to play, but I'm looking forward to digging into this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also want to mention really fast, since there were other things to talk about. This is something that Liz also threw in here, is that the biggest realm, which is Crusader Strike, it's the largest realm in the history of the game. I'm assuming that means all WoW, not just WoW Classic, or is it just WoW Classic?
I do not have clarification on that one.
Okay, but it's so big that they had to lock it.
Mm-hmm.
Like already, it's been out a week, guys, and they've already had to be like, nope, lock that
and
one.
They locked it on like day two, maybe, because it was so crowded. Everyone was going to Crusader Strike. And, you know, in part, I can understand that because Crusader Strike just sounds really cool. But yeah.
And plus, I mean, there's always that snowball thing, like where the realms can hit a critical mass where the bigger they are, the bigger they get. And people are like, all want to go to the place where their friends went. And so you just end up with this, you know, massive, massive realm.
And Blizzard is actually taking a lot of steps to try and make sure the realms are balanced. Another thing they're doing is they're trying to maintain a balanced on the PvP servers, they're trying to maintain a balanced alliance and horde population. So if it gets too off kilter, they might lock creation on one side or the other to keep that faction balance, because that's one of the things people complain about a lot, particularly in Classic, that it's like, oh, my server is all this side and none of this side, so I just can't get things done because the population is so tiny. So they're doing some interesting things here to try and keep the servers balanced, try to not get like what WoW Classic itself has, which is some mega servers and then a bunch of deserted servers. They launched the game with just a small number of servers, and they've been trying to manage them, trying to keep populations balanced. But they've already had to shut some of them down.
Yeah, that's so it is. Again, this thing is an experiment. That's the thing to think about here. It's this is something they've never done before. It's worth giving it time to see how it all shakes out. Go ahead.
I should note one more thing. Crusader Strike is an RP PvP server. So, it is currently locked. If you want to roll an RP PvP server, that you want to roll on Chaos Bolt, which also sounds really cool.
Yep. Also, we should probably mention, while we're talking about this kind of thing, we mentioned the PTR already. Shouldn't we talk about Warcraft Rumble first, or should we talk about the Game Awards? I think we just start really quickly. The Game Awards are Thursday. They're on my birthday.
Yes.
So yeah, go watch those, I guess, if you want to. If you don't. I don't really feel like I feel like the Game Awards this year have felt more superfluous to me than they have in previous years, which they've always kind of felt superfluous to me. But it's nice when people get awards and get rewarded, you know, recognized for the good work they do. Mm-hmm. So I'm always happy about that. Usually for me at least, the Game Awards are, I wasn't watching and they dumped a million trailers. So yeah, it's always like, oh, that's out. I will say that because of the Game Awards this week, although I don't know if they were going to release this at that time, we did find out GTA 6 is coming.
Yeah.
So this is not related to Blizzard or anything, but if you were like wondering, when are we going to get a new Grand Theft Auto game? Soon, because someone leaked it and they had to release the trailer early. So we know now this is what it is. You know, they are doing GTA 6. It is in the point where they have a trailer for it. They're likely going to release it within a year or two. We'll find out more at the Game Awards. So if that's something you're interested in, there's that. Now we can talk about Warcraft Rumble. Season 1 is ending Saturday, and season 2 is probably starting on Saturday. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think they've specifically announced either of these things. Like, they haven't really advertised this, but it's listed in the game as ending on this Saturday, and presumably the next season will start immediately, because the seasonal kind of cycle is really tied into how the game works. You're earning seasonal rewards, working with your guild to earn things. So I'm pretty sure that season 2 is going to launch exactly on December 9th when season 1 ends. So if you're working on playing Rumble, you only have like 4 more days from the time of this recording to get unlock Sylvanas, which is the season 1 reward. So limited time, and we don't actually know a lot about the rewards for season 2 yet. We're kind of there have been a few things announced that we don't know when they're going to happen. But all we know for sure is there's a new Chimera mini in season 2, and we might see Skull of Man's Dungeon, we might see Molten Core Raid, we might see Moonglade as a zone. These are all things that they've talked about but not given us a release date on, but we don't know much for sure. But either way, we should find out this weekend what's coming next to Warcraft Rumble.
Yeah, we do know that Molten Core was at the BlizzCon this year.
Right? Yeah, they talked about that at BlizzCon, but they didn't give us a release date, so I don't know.
It just reminds me very much of that old April Fool's joke where they had Molten Core on like it was like 6-bit Molten Core, and it was like, you know, an old Atari 2600 type game, and you know, not that Warcraft Rumble is obviously way more graphically, you know, advanced than that. I just think it's funny.
It's still kind of got that sort of retro vibe. There's kind of simple graphics things that makes it feels, it's got a kind of tabletop game vibe to it that feels more old school. So I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. All right. I think at this point we've kind of covered everything.
Well, there's one other thing that popped up that we were talking about a little bit in chat. There was a recent interview with Phil Spencer with Windows Central. Phil Spencer obviously being the CEO from the whole Microsoft thing. And there was some conversations that some folks might be interested in. He basically said that he was talking about the nature of reviving older franchises and specifically Activision franchises. He talked about not forcing teams to do that, but he is open to it and wants to support them should they choose to do that. He's talked about going to have conversations with the leadership at Blizzard specifically and to talk about maybe what they're passionate about, if they're passionate about reviving that, and then making this, what I thought was the important thing, making Xbox developers available should it be required. So, like, again, giving resources, let's say Heroes of the Storm wants to come out of maintenance mode and they want to revive it, or StarCraft, maybe we get a StarCraft 3 or something like that. These are possibilities that are now on the table. Nothing has been confirmed, but I think it's really, really interesting to hear sort of that become a thing, right? He also talked about like Banjo-Kazooie, I think it was Banjo-Kazooie, but a bunch of other stuff like weird like franchises that Activision owns that have been like largely dead for a long period of time. And then also the idea of maybe bringing some of those to Xbox Game Pass or maybe some of the older Blizzard games to Xbox in general. So there's hope. There is hope out there. I can hear Corey on his max dose of hopium. But yeah, I'm right there with him because honestly, we talked about this. Heroes of the Storm got a patch. We haven't like that hasn't happened forever. Why all of a sudden now? And we know that people really did care about the game and there were developers that really loved it. And honestly, in the MOBA space, I think it would be perfectly fine to give it some love and attention. I'm going to hold out hope for that one in particular, but also StarCraft feels like, I don't know about you, but I understand they finished the story and I'm air quoting that in StarCraft 2, but I feel like it's not done. Like there's so much more you could do with it that I would love to go back to the StarCraft universe, especially when we talked about this before with the rise of the RTS, like independent RTS scene, having Blizzard come out with an honest, like caring return to the franchise would be pretty amazing. So
yeah,
there's potential. I just thought it would be interesting to bring it up because it was an interesting news item from a couple days ago.
All right. But with that, we are going to try and get a couple of these emails in. We've got enough time, I think, for one or two of them. If you got a question for the show, you don't have to use an email. In fact, sometimes I think almost all of these are from Discord, but you can either contact us via email. You can send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for the show. Or you can go to our Discord. We've got two Discords. We've got one that is the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel. For our patrons, and you know, we've been getting more and more patrons thanks to you guys stepping up and helping us, and we're definitely going to talk more about that. Absolutely, but thank you for that. Joe is going to read all your names and stuff too. You're still doing that, right?
Insert the recording of me saying all their names here. Yeah. A very special thank you to our new Patreon supporters, Diane Scans, AJ Venter, Clement, Austin Kiefer, Drygon, or Dragon. I can't tell with each because, well, it's dragon season, so we're going to go with that. Eric Odia, Andrew Schwartz, Razor Berg. Oh, wait, I mean Bug. Love you, friend. Fletch, 2D Ledwee, Joshua Lindquist, Nick Macy, Joel Boogstraight, and Clinton Roof. Thank you very much for your support and allowing us to continue doing what we love.
Cool. So yeah, you can go to the Discord and you can do that. If you're our patron, you can go that one first. And, you know, we try to take questions from there first because, you know, that is one of the ways we reward you for helping us. But if you can't support us on Patreon for whatever reason, that's totally something we understand. And we do have the Q and Podcast Questions channel for non-patrons. And we did actually get some questions from there, too. So without further ado, we're going to start with this question, which I don't know if it was meant for us or not. he said it was Q for the Q when he said it, and I was like, that would be a long Q. But for those of us with short memories, could we get a refresher on how we met Zalatath and all our interactions with her so far? I did the quests, but it all blurs. I don't know if we can do like a full.
That's a lore watch. That's a lore watch thing, I think, at that point. Like, no,
but,
like,
but I can tell you this. I think we can tell you this. Zalatath was one of the artifact weapons from Legion. So it was the Shadow Priest artifact.
Yep.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff in there about the old gods and about the dagger and the dagger's origin throughout the world and how it affected, like, for instance, it was the weapon that led the Dark Iron Dwarves to think they could actually take out the Wildhammers, because Modgud, who was the wife of Emperor Thorason at the time, went to, I want to say Gul-Batal, but it's not Gul-Batal. What is it?
Grim-Batal.
Grim-Batal, thank you. And she went to Grim-Batal with a Dark Iron Army.
To
and
study the void.
Yeah, she used the knife to, you know, kick butt.
She's the reason there's a Cathraxi at the end of Grim-Batal.
Yep. So, essentially, she was there throughout Legion, and then at the end of Legion, you know, we all used our artifacts to basically drain the bad juice out of the swords that Sargeras stabbed the world with. Zalatath didn't like that, and didn't like getting abandoned, because they, you know, obviously, that's what happened to her. She got abandoned after she drained all the bad stuff out. So she set up a whole situation where non-priest players could end up interacting with her. And she was using the Naga who were trying to find her. And she eventually made a deal with Nazoth where he took the Zalatath being out of the dagger body and put it inside of recently killed High Elf, who had been trying to find the knife and use it herself. That's the Zalatath you see in the War Within trailer. It's the body of that dead High Elf whose name is currently escaping me, but, you know, there's a lore watch coming. I'm sure we'll talk about it there. And yeah, that's basically
Ananas or Ananas or things like that.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the basis of it. That's the basics. Like Joe said, though, that's a lore watch. There's a lot of quests here, man. So yeah, hopefully that at least you now know who she is. And, you know, we will definitely talk more about her in the
future. This might be Sunday's episode.
Yeah, we'll find out when we get there. But yeah, I'm assuming, Liz, you didn't have anything to say there, but if you did, totally go ahead.
Nope.
Okay. Next one is from Parasolith. Speculation on the War Within's new allied race, specifically the racial abilities of the Earthen. The WoW devs commented that the Earthen racial would not be derivative of the Dark Iron Smole machine, but have been silent on possibilities. Speculation has ranged from a defensive turn to stone to gems on their bodies redirecting incoming damage back. What are your thoughts on potential racial abilities? They say a nice thing about Patreon, and thank you for supporting us on Patreon, Perry. Yes. Liz, you first. Do you have any ideas for Earthen racials?
I have no ideas, but I do think that Blizzard has really de-emphasized racials as we've gone on. Mm-hmm. Of course, I say that, and Dark Iron Dwarves have that really cool little machine. but, you know, in large part, you don't think about, okay, maybe this is just me, I don't think about racials when I'm rolling a new class because they have, their impact level is so low. And going back into Classic, I've rolled in Classic and I really thought about that. Like, okay, which race should I play that has the best racials? Which priest race specifically has the best priest racial abilities? You used to really think about that. And I don't think about that very much in retail. Like, it's some cool flavor, but it's not as game defining as it once was.
Oh, I do.
Okay. I'm the odd one out.
Well, I mean, I don't really think about it that much either, because I play a Warrior of them all, so I'm going to have that racial eventually, whichever one it is.
I race change loader every time I feel like there's a better racial available for me. Like, I'm not even going to lie about that. I think the turn to stone thing is probably going to be fairly accurate, because if you look at current dwarves in the game right now, you either have Fireblood or Stone Form, which does ostensibly similar things with slight variants. Like, Fireblood, I think, is better because you load me up with debuffs, I hit Fireblood, I convert them into intellect, thank you very much. But I could see them giving something similar like that to Earthen to sort of tie it all together, because lore wise and everything else that they've been telling us, it's, you know, there's this offshoot that sort of grew up to be dwarves without having direct interaction with other dwarves, despite the fact that they're still earthen. I do not think that people have been speculating that they're going to get gems that reflect incoming damage. I don't think that's going to be a thing. I know right now spell reflect with warriors is being looked at pretty hard because it is very strong. Mm-hmm. I watched a warrior leap into the middle of the Volocross like trash packs, pull everything on the platform, and then just hit spell reflect once and everything went to like 30% health. Like it is very strong right now. I don't know that they would give that as a non-class ability to just as a racial ability. To Liz's point, they do de-emphasize how important they were. Like back in ye olden days, Night Elf warriors were like the bee's knees because they got an extra 1% dodge.
Oh yeah, I actually did race change my character to Night Elf to tank. I believe it was Heroic Anubricon.
Yeah, because you needed it. You needed that 1% because you needed every bit of survivability you could.
Yeah, in order to push the Heroic Anubricon fight, you needed to get critical hits completely off the table.
Yeah,
they had to be gone. Like, and if you were like, if you were even a little low, like your defense wasn't right or whatever, you would get critically hit, and he would gib you. Like he would just crush you. He would be over. So yeah. We didn't get him down until I went Night Elf. How hard he was.
They've moved away from things having that large of an impact. You might get some more versatility. You might get a free ability that lets you heal or do some damage.
You might get that really weird thing that Night Elves have now where like the thing they get changes depending on whether or not it's day or night. Like is it you get haste during the day and you get crit at night, I think is it might be the way around, but yeah.
Liz, you were saying something, I think.
I mean, I was just going to go with think about dwarves and Fear Ward back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Dwarf priests.
Oh, yeah. That answers your question.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
got an ability that made you temporarily immune to fear. Or did it just clear fear? I forget.
No,
you're immune. And it like really trivialized one of the most difficult parts of the Onyxia encounter at the time. So if you were raiding his alliance, you had dwarf priests.
And you needed it for Nefarian.
This was either going to be really, really difficult because they're going to fear your tank, or it's going to be a complete non-issue because you brought a dwarf.
Well, the thing with Fear Ward was if you only brought one dwarf, then he couldn't actually trivialize the fight because Fear Ward had a long enough cast time. I remember this because I remember having to explain to somebody that, yes, you were still going to have to do... you was going to have a warrior tank. It wasn't going to be anybody else. Secondly, you had to do stance dancing. You were going to have to go and pop into Berserker stance, and you were going to have to hit Berserker Rage. He was, but we have a dwarf. Like, we have one dwarf. You can't tank her, and she will only fear like the amount of times he can fear ward. That's not how this is going to work. This is the same reason that Shaman with Tremor Totem weren't even close.
Cooldown. Yep.
Yeah. The cooldown and the fact that it cast on a pulse.
Yeah, it was like a 1.5 second pulse.
Yeah. And so if you didn't get the totem down at exactly the right time, and keep in mind, you couldn't pre-cast it on somebody.
No, but you could at least cast it while you were feared back then.
Yeah. At least you could cast when you feared. But a dwarf could pre-cast. They could like cast, okay, she's going to do this in 5 seconds. I can cast it. Tremor Totem, you couldn't do that because it would then pulse and then you'd have to wait for it to pulse again. It was a pain. I definitely think that Fear Ward, though, it's if you're talking about like racial abilities that were the strongest a class could possibly have, Fear Ward was absolutely that. Even more than Hungering Plague for Undead, which was that was another priest one, right?
Hungering Plague was, so.
Devouring Plague, yeah.
Or the fact that they could cannibalize, the Forsaken could cannibalize corpses of enemies slain and regenerate their health as a free heal. The fact that trolls had regeneration at a insane rate. That was a massive free heal.
Playing a troll over here.
Yep. The earthen stuff is likely more to skew towards like the Titan or something to do with the Titans specifically. It's not going to be a mole machine or derivative of it, but it might allow you to go to Titan facilities, which I think would be kind of cool.
I just wanted to just literally be called Embiggen and they just grow. They just grow to be like, you know,
Fireblood
like
already does that, man.
Yeah. But this one is just cosmetic. You just turn into a 10-foot tall earthen. Nothing else. Doesn't
that's,
do anything.
That's Dwergar. You're supposed to be. No, I'm sorry. All right. We have no idea what it's going to be, but I think it's going to be relatively flavorful and not game impactful.
All right. We got 3 minutes left, so I'm going to. Starhammer, I think we just answered your question, so I'm not going to do yours. But to answer your question slightly, we do talk about it. We talk about WoW Classic. We just hadn't talked about WoW Classic this week. Go ahead.
Do you want to read the question before we answer the question?
I feel like that was pretty much enough, but okay.
Starhammer, I got this. Starhammer notices that we don't really talk about WoW Classic a lot. They really enjoy WoW, the vanilla Classic and Classic Hardcore, which is great. The problem is it's all time, right? Starhammer. We don't talk about it because not that we don't enjoy it. It's just there's only so many hours in the week for us. And for like Liz and myself, I know specifically our free time is spent in retail. Right. So and we do that because that's where we raid. That's where our guild is. That's where the majority of the people we interact with are, including several of you. It's not that we don't enjoy the concept, but like we literally were just talking about it today with the season of Discovery. We're going to dive in when we have time. We just have to have time. Although holiday season's coming up and, I happen to get some free days off of work and I'm going to be doing nothing but, season of Discovery during those days where I was like, I should be in a meeting right now. You know what? I think I'm going to go and level my shaman instead. So,
yeah, which is always nice, quite frankly. Liz, I'm sorry.
One thing about Classic is, you know, I think WoW from the beginning through now, whether it's Classic, Retail, Hardcore, whatever version of WoW it is, it's the most fun when you're playing it with friends. So when my friends are playing Classic and I can go and play Classic with them, I can log on to Season of Discovery and chat with them. You know, one of my guildmates in Season of Discovery, ran on foot to find me in the Valley of Trials to give me some bags the other day. It makes it fun when you have friends you can hang out with and talk to. And when you don't, it's just like, okay, I played this game once 20 years ago. And why am I here? Why am I still here doing this? So WoW is a glorified social interaction simulator. Simulator's the wrong word. It's real social interaction. But it's a glorified, extravagant chat room to hang out with your friends, and you just happen to be hanging out with your friends and killing dragons and the occasional god. So I think the fun level of WoW really goes way down if you aren't playing with friends. There's some stuff that's fun anyway. Doing quests can be really fun. Experiencing content for the first time is super fun, no matter whether you have friends there or not. But in the long run, it's fun when you're playing with friends. It's fun to play video games with your friends. So when you have that social network in World of Warcraft, whatever version it is, you're going to be drawn to that, I think. And that's certainly been my big problem with Classic, because it's like I might have one person I know who plays Classic a whole lot, but you're never online at the same time. You don't have a guild. You can't do a lot of things, particularly in Classic, where grouping is super important.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. So, like my playtimes are really odd hours too. Like sometimes if I can't sleep, I'll be on doing stuff at 1-2 o'clock in the morning my time. And like I can jump into a queue in retail and go do like a time walk or something like that. In Classic, I have to have a group, or I have to go through the pain of finding a group, and that doesn't always work. So time matters as well, right?
Yeah. But absolutely don't feel like we're trying to like tell you you're wrong to like it. That is absolutely
not. Like if you listen to this episode, we're excited about Season of Discovery. We're there with you for some of this stuff as well. We don't hate it.
I mean,
that's that.
Nope, no, I'm still here. Yep. I don't know what happened. Sorry, guys. Anyway, I think we're going to be done because we're done. Like it's time for us to be done. It's the end of the show.
I do have one small thing to add right here at the end, which is that the Blizzard Watch podcast is back on Spotify. So if you enjoy listening to podcasts on Spotify, we are finally at long last, a number of technical problems later, back on Spotify. Please subscribe. And if that is where you prefer to listen to your podcast, we're there.
Follow our threads there. Make sure that you do the things. It does help us because that's an algorithm we can actually still have influence over. Please. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Liz, do you want to do a brief Patreon drive mention?
Sure. Well, we're wrapped up the Patreon drive. We're not going to bother you about it, though. We are planning on doing, several of them a year. We're going to kind of go into the PBS pledge drive kind of format where we remind people occasionally that, hey, your support is what keeps us going, because your support is what keeps the site going. And
there's going
to
be a tote bag with my face on it, I promise.
Thank you so, so much for coming out to support us. We did not it quite hit our Patreon goal, which was $5,000 a month to bring the site up to kind of full speed, but we're really quite close to that. And we're close enough that for the month of December, we're increasing our post count. We have a small budget for editing, so I don't have to do it all entirely by myself now, which is great. I'm so happy about that. I can like walk away from my computer and things will still get posted. That's pretty awesome. And so you should be seeing more posts on the site. You should be seeing... Yeah, that's kind of it.
We
can pay our writers for doing more writing, and it's all because of you.
Yeah, and we did also, we're waiting on to see how it goes, but we have submitted our information for the podcast for the group stuff so that we can potentially have some extra revenue from that to at least maybe keep the revenue that we normally dedicate to the podcasts and put it back into the site. So we're waiting to hear back on that. And you may hear an advertisement at this point here. I don't know. Go ahead, Liz.
I did say we didn't quite meet our goal, but we're pretty close. One of the things we have switched to a new advertising provider. If you've looked at the site, you've probably seen some different ads. We're using an advertising provider that specializes in gaming sites. So you see more gaming related ads and fewer completely random, why is that even there kind of ads. So if you see anything weird, particularly auto playing video with sound, I haven't seen any of those. But if you see anything weird, let us know. We're kind of working out the kinks right now, and we don't, with advertising, you don't know how much revenue you're going to make. So we can't just because we have a new advertising partner go and like super increase our budget because we know we're going to make a lot of money, because we don't know. We have no idea. So we're going to hopefully ramp up slowly and start getting more posts on the site. And as Joe said, you may start hearing ads on the podcast unless you subscribe on Patreon to get them ad-free and with pre-show content. And that's just going to help us grow the site. It's going to help us do more things, write more posts. And I think that's all I got. We're doing pretty well right now, and I think it looks good for us going into 2024. I'm cautiously optimistic is a good word. We got more support than I really expected. And I have to say thank you all for coming out here to support us, because a couple of months ago, I was genuinely thinking, I don't know if this site's going to be here in 2024.
Yeah, that was how
bad it was looking for a while, because we had an advertising revenue shortfall for a long time. And our Patreon was down because we'd been leaning into ad revenue. And it was looking really bad, but you all came out to support us, and that means so much. It does allow the site to continue. We are not going to hassle you about subscribing on Patreon quite as much as we have been over the past couple of weeks.
Oh, but I'm still going to do my spiel. Don't worry.
Thank you so much for showing up to support us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reading. I am so glad you're here with us.
And I'm not going to do my normal outro spiel because I think Liz covered all the finer points. Because
I was going to get to say, Joe, release the Kraken.
Well, I'm going to release this part of the Kraken. if you are listening to this recording on one of our multiple streaming sources, and you are not a Patreon supporter and you do have that consideration for us, please consider going to patreon.com/blizzardwatch and tossing us maybe a dollar or so. It does help. Like Liz said, we're very close to that, the where we needed to be. And thank you everybody who helped support us to get there. But I will be still giving that spiel at the end of each and every one of our podcasts, because at this point, it's been 10 years of me essentially reciting this. I ain't going to stop anytime soon. I literally like have dreams about podcasting in which I recite this, the outro. I'm not joking.
So that is the podcast for this week, guys. Thank you to Liz for that summation, because we really, it's nice to know that you guys have had a positive influence and you've actually helped us. Thank you to Joe for having memorized that tome that he recites every week. And thank you to me for not dying so that I got a year older in 2 days. Woohoo! This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you guys so much for being here with us. And we'll be back next week.
I love getting to say that.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.